The following is a duplicate of an interview conducted with Dr. Arthur Chung for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. October 23, 1979, an interview with Dr. Arthur W. Chung at his residence in Los Angeles. Dr. Chung, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about your place of birth and your parents' origin.
I was born in Los Angeles on December 31st. 1913, and my father's name was Y.H. Chung, and my mother's maiden name was Nellie Yi.
How about your mother's place of birth and background and your father's?
Yes, my mother was born in Ventura. I'm afraid I don't remember the date. I have to ask her about that. And my father was born in it's Kaiping County. Again, I don't know the date. My father has died. He died in 1952.
What was his occupation?
His occupation was he was what we now call as traditional doctors. He was a Chinese traditional doctor.
An
herbalist, yes. Okay. They also called him the herbalist.
Your mother, did she ever have any jobs?
No, she was a housewife. Yes.
Where did your father have practice?
Well, when he came over to this country, probably around the turn of the century, he practiced among the overseas Chinese in Chinatown. First in San Diego, because that was the place where he landed. And then later he moved to Los Angeles, in Chinatown. Sometime later, again, I don't know exactly where, he rented a place on 7th and Hill Street. And that was the place where I was born. According to the California laws, he could not practice as a doctor, so he could not put doctor after his name or before his name. So he called his establishment the Chinese Herb Company, Y.H. Chung Manager. That was how he managed. But everybody knew that he was a Chinese traditional doctor. And gradually he had more patients among the Caucasians than the Chinese. And many people came to see him because during those early days, many patients did not want to submit to surgery, or they felt that the treatment they were getting in medicine was not satisfactory and they wanted to try Chinese medicines, and so they came to see him. Most of his patients were referred patients.
Referred by Western doctors?
Yeah, no, by patients.
Oh,
they were referred by patients because the patients felt that they had satisfaction. They received satisfaction from his treatments, and so they recommended other patients to come and see him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he built up his practice.
For how long did he practice?
Well, he practiced until he practically died in 1952, and
oh.
that was at least 40, 50 years. See, I think he was about 30 when he came over. So he died at 52.
Oh, died of illness?
Yes, he died of heart disease.
Did any member of the family learn from the others?
Well, both my brothers learned some traditional medicine from him. I have an older brother in San Fernando who actually he learned some traditional medicine in China before he came over.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have another brother who had his medical education in the United States and practiced in China in ear, nose, and throat.
Wow.
In Shanghai, in fact. And during the Japanese War, he came back to this country. And he found that because he was an MD, he also learned something about my father's practice, and he also gave prescriptions in Chinese as well as in English. So those were the only two. I was too young to learn that. And frankly, at that time, I didn't think very much of traditional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that has changed since then. But I didn't think that it was very scientific. But I could see that many of his patients got a great deal of satisfaction from the treatment. And many of them were quite successful.
What kind of cases did you treat?
Well, mostly cases of internal medicine. He didn't treat surgical cases. He knew that surgery in China, at the time it was traditional medicine, did not have too many ways of treating surgical patients. And so most of his cases were in internal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
For example, gallbladder disease, or digestive upsets and respiratory conditions and so forth. He had his own, he bought his herbs from the beginning, from Kentai. And then later, when the Japanese War came, he imported his medicines from Hong Kong. And there was always a problem of shortages because many of the ingredients in the Chinese prescriptions could not be bought at certain times. But he was very innovative, and he would try to substitute various medicinal plants for not available. And apparently he was quite successful. He was quite well known in Los Angeles as a traditional doctor. And he would always make house calls, especially among the Chinese population. If someone called and said they were sick, he would always go to the home. Incidentally, that is a characteristic of traditional doctors in mm-hmm. China even today. Because when a person is sick, he calls for the doctor and the doctor visits at the home. And that's what he did.
Did he ever have to raise
from
certain kinds of animals himself?
No.
Somebody who did that for him?
No, he never did. He bought all of his medications from the... There's a Chinese drugstore. Well, there are several of these large drug houses that imported medicines in Chinatown. And he would order through them. And sometimes he would order directly from China.
By the way, is medicine, the practice of medicine, a family occupation?
Yes. I just recently learned that three of my uncles, and of my father's brothers,
mm-hmm.
were also traditional doctors in their native village. And one or two were quite well known in their districts for treating certain diseases. I don't know too much about it because I just heard this from my brother just last week.
How about your grandfather?
My grandfather also knew something about medicine. My grandfather felt that it was important for his sons to learn about Chinese medicines and to it was a status symbol because in China the physician is considered of a class somewhat higher than others, and since they were a literate family, and you had to know the language in order to read the Chinese books on medicine. So I think my father had a very large family. He was the 11th son. There were 12 sons in the family. Of course, probably through several wives. And I don't know how many brothers how many sisters he had. I believe there were about six. It was a huge family. Mm-hmm. And when my grandfather died, according to what I heard from my brother, there was a great deal of bickering among the children as to the property and all that. And my father said, well, I don't want any of this. So he went to Canton and he studied. He was an apprentice with the traditional doctor at Canton. And after his apprenticeship, he became a doctor at home. And he opened a Chinese drugstore in Canton. And then later he came to this country.
Why?
Pardon?
Why did he come?
Well, I think at that time there was always the glamour, you might say, or the Cantonese, I think, have, especially those in the four counties around Canton, those who were most, they were more adventuresome, perhaps, and they felt that coming over to the United States might offer them better opportunities of working. And there were many overseas who came over here to work and then to send the money back in order to support their families. The counties surrounding Canton were often suffered droughts, floods and so forth. And, sometimes life was pretty hard in those places. And I think that he probably came over because he wanted to find his fortune over here in the United States.
Did he bring the family over?
No, he came alone. He came alone. At that time, as you know, the immigration laws were very strict, and he came alone. And there's a little story about that too. I heard this from a cousin of mine who came over. I don't know how year it was, but it was in the century, and he had some friends. Relatives in San Diego, and the ship arrived in San Diego. And so he found this place where his relatives were. And he found that it was a gambling joint. And he had his luggage with him and so forth. And he asked the relative, where shall I sleep tomorrow? And the relative said, well, you'll have to wait until all the gamblers had left. And he didn't understand what that meant until when all the gamblers left, they put the tables together and he put his bedding on top of the tables. And that was how he slept. This first night in the United States. I always remember that.
That's your cousin.
One of my cousins in San Diego told me that. And he brought over some, at that time he also brought over some herbs and and I understand he bought us some jewelry to sell in order to make his way in.
Did he ever go to Ventura?
No. He met, you see, He practiced in Los Angeles for some time. From San Diego, he went to Los Angeles, Los Angeles Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And he, people gradually knew that he was a doctor, and so he was called on to see his patients in Chinatown. And then my, died in Chinatown, so he went back and filled my service for him. And came back to this country again. And I don't know what year, I can feel that you will find it in the tapes there, that, that he met my mother in Chinatown. By that time, my mother had moved from Ventura to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through a matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way in those days. And that they became acquainted, and then they married in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And, later, they moved from Chinatown to Hill Street. I still remember the place on Hill Street. It's called, it's 917 South Hill Street.
Oh.
So it was, I believe, 9th and Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at that time that opposite our house, it was a two-story house, opposite our house was what is now the May Company. But it was called Hamburgers at that time. It was not called May Company, it was called Hamburgers. And I was born in that house.
It's a restaurant?
No, no. It's the department store.
Oh, it was
the May Company department store. You know the May Company?
Yes.
Well, it was used to be called the Hamburger.
Oh.
Because the Hamburger was the name of the store. It's just like May Company.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, Hamburger.
Yeah. It was later sold to this other company, which called it the May Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born there, and my sisters were born.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
With my present mother, I have an older sister who is now in Hong Kong. Her husband is an engineer. He's in construction. He comes over very frequently. They both come over. He just left about less than a month ago. Then I'm the next one. I have two younger sisters. One of them was in China in Peking.
Mm-hmm.
And she has since died. But this is my mother. I never told my mother this. She doesn't know this. It'd be too much of a trauma. Then I have a younger sister, the youngest one of the family, is living here in Los Angeles. It's just about 2 miles away from me. That's the extent of my family. Now, I have at the present time two half-brothers who are alive. One of them is living in Central America, and he learned traditional medicine too when he was young, but he never did practice it because he was more interested in farming.
Mm.
And so my father bought him a farm in San Fernando Valley. It was in North Hollywood at that time, and now it's San Fernando Valley. And he grew asparagus on this farm.
Was that a very popular crop that's just coming up?
Well, the thing is that the asparagus farming requires a great deal of human labor. And that was the only, one of the few crops that the Chinese could compete with the American farmers as far as that's concerned. Because the American farmers would use machinery.
Yeah.
But with asparagus, you have to cut the individual spears by hand.
Mm.
And so it required a great deal of human labor. And it was very hard work to experiment. Well, he operated his asparagus farm for many, many years. And I don't know what year it was, because I was late by then. probably in the 1950s, the whole area where he was subdivided into lots to be sold in order to build houses on. And so he saved a piece of land for himself. He built his own house there. And so the asparagus farm is no longer there, as with many things in California. Much of the farmland has disappeared, and houses have taken their place. Then I have another half-brother, the one that I told you was a doctor. He's an MD. But his experience was exactly opposite to mine, because he was born in the village, Kansas. Came over when he was only about 12 years old, or maybe younger, and went through school in the United States. And he graduated from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And was an MD. Did some of his work at Philadelphia. And then he went to the Peking Union Medical College in Peking as a resident in eye, ear, nose, and throat. And yet further training in Vienna for eye diseases. And then he became the head of the ear, nose, and throat department in the Nanking Central Hospital in Nanking before the revolution. Then he operated. He then had his own practice in Shanghai. And during the anti-Japanese war, he came back to this country with his family. Then I have another brother that I had never seen because he was a lawyer. That was the second son who was in Canton. I never saw him, but he died very early. Mm-hmm. So the only remaining two brothers, one is in San Fernando, the other is in Los Angeles. I don't see them very too often.
Did you grow up in around that area that you were born?
Yes,
trip?
I was on. Yes, well, we moved several times. I was born in that place, and I went to study South Coast. And then, I believe in the 1920s, we moved to place 14th place. Broadway and Hill. And then we moved again around 1930, we moved once more, again to Hill Street. You see, my father always wanted to have a place where he could put his sign out so that people knew that he was a Chinese doctor. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we couldn't afford to have two houses, and so it was a house in which we lived, and at the same time, it was a house where we lived. So he had, we had moved several times. The last house I remember, well, anyway, in 1931, I left Los Angeles to go to China. Mm-hmm. And we were living on 1322 South Hill Street. Not that address very well. It was right in the corner of Pico and Hill Street. He was living in a rented house at that time. He was during the Depression. It was very difficult for the family.
How did the Depression affect your family?
Well, it affected the family in a very adverse way because, you see, with the Depression, many of my father's patients couldn't afford to go to see. And then my father was in sole need of support, and so because all of us were rather young, and he was still supporting my older brother through medical school, and then to for postgraduate training, and we were all very young, we were still in school, so it was quite a burden on him. And also, as you know, many of the overseas Chinese felt that they had a responsibility to to support their families or their friends in the village. And he would send money every year to his brothers, his other relatives, mm-hmm. in Canton. So he had a very hard time. There were times when we could hardly pay the rent, because the rent was very cheap in those days, and yet it was very difficult. And although he was very proud, he never wanted us to take part in any kind of labor. In other words, we would say, well, we could go out and sell papers every day. He said, no, you can't do that. In our family, we will not dirty your hands with labor. In other words, he was one of the rather old-fashioned Chinese, coming from a rather wealthy family in the villages at that time. Because my grandfather, I heard from my sister-in-law, had a great deal of land. He was a huge, big landlord at that time. And he owned part of that. And actually, his sons really have some type of education, which is different than other people's education, as compared to other overseas in this country. And he was very strong in this sense. In fact, I remember very clearly that when I was in junior high school, we had a course on the selection of an occupation.
A semester course?
Yes, it was a semester course on occupation. In other words, what are your abilities, mm-hmm. and what types of occupation would you like to go into? And I was very much interested in, well, this was the teacher suggested certain things. And I said I was interested in linotyping. You know, in the newspaper office with a linotype machine. And when I came back and I told my father I did the linotype, he was very angry. He says, you won't be doing any of that type of thing. He says, you will either become an engineer or you will become a doctor. Because he says, we Chinese in the United States, it's very difficult to get a job. Because we are Chinese. And unless you have a job in which you can be entirely independent, and you can have your own office or you can have your own firm, you will never be able to work out. So he was always anxious, rather pushing us to go into the professions rather than into manual labor. So, in fact, I think he looked down upon people.
But then why did you buy your half-brother a farm?
Well, you see, the thing is, he himself wanted to be a farmer. And the interesting thing, if you will look back on his tapes, you will find it. He's not only a farmer, but he's also a poet. Mm. He writes poetry. And he's a very well-learned man. I think among the Chinese in Los Angeles, he's one of the comparatively few who are very literate. And he writes poetry, he writes, he composes compositions and things of that sort. And people know about him and often ask him. In the old days, he used to be able to write calligraphy very well. Mm-hmm. And people would come and ask him to write calligraphy. Now, his ideal, that is the person that he admires most, is Tao Yuanming. Tao Yuanming, he feels that he's when he's in the countryside, he has the open sky and all. The love of nature is very close to this. So he's not an ordinary farmer, although of course he has to face the problems of a farmer, the economic problems of a farmer, whether the crops will bring him money around, and oftentimes he'll lose money on the crop. And sometimes the price of asparagus will go down, and then he'll lose money. But still, He was a very optimistic and a very happy person doing that type of work. So he's a little different from, I think, from most of the modern view out here.
Could you tell me a little bit about your own school, like where did you go to
I went to my elementary school. It was when we were living in 14th Place, and later in 14th Place, I went to what was called at that time the 16th Street School. It was for my primary education. And then we moved to 1322 South Hill Street. And my junior high school was called Centus High School. S-E-N-T-O-U-S. Centus High School. It was up, I think, up in Pico somewhere. I don't quite know where it is now. And I graduated from Centers High School. And theoretically, Polytechnic High was closer to our home than Los Angeles High School. But my sister, my older sister, had gone to Los Angeles High School. She liked it there. There were comparatively few Chinese there. And Polytechnic High was considered an inferior school at that time.